Go ahead. Continue on about how people exist outside of your world.
Okay, so, I mean, I've come to the conclusion that they exist. Whether or not I want them to is a completely different thing. Also learned that I need to accept. That being said, I really don't care what happened at the Pro Tour. It doesn't affect me directly right now.
You already bought all your cards from whatever this new set is, right? Oath of the Gatewatch?
Yeah, bought, opened, whatever.
Okay. Because otherwise it would completely matter to you because I think most of the top eight basically consisted of new cards from this set and Eldrazi Temple or whatever that makes your basically a 2-mana land for Eldrazi.
Right.
So that was basically the Pro Tour in a nutshell. So, I mean, important.
Yeah.
I mean, for prices of your cards in single or in standard right now.
I guess.
But if you already have them all, then F it.
Pretty much.
F it's couch. So, as always, Travis, we are going to have sexual intercourse with this chicken and start the show. I'm Samus, he's Travis. This is Two Trolls in a Brew. The current title of this episode is Warping Well Bad? With a sub-pop title of Have a Plan, Hoping for the Best is Not a Plan, Unless You Are Donald J. Trump.
Is his middle initial really J?
I believe so. I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure I've heard that on a couple of the debates. It's Donald J. Trump.
I had no idea you were such good friends with him.
And we're like pals. Like, he exists on the same planet as you,
so...
He comes and picks me up in his giant gold airplane, and he tells me that that he's the best Magic player ever, that people call him the Magic playing master.
Okay.
He doesn't say that about himself. People say that about him.
Right, makes sense.
That he's never lost a game at a Pro Tour.
Wow, he's undefeated. Amazing.
And he's basically the greatest. He's the winningest person that's ever existed.
I don't know. He has to compete with Charlie Sheen.
And apparently he woke up, found out he had the Super AIDS, and had sex with Charlie Sheen, and transferred the Super AIDS to Charlie Sheen.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
And so now he doesn't have the Super AIDS anymore.
Oh, it's just a transfer?
Yeah, he just, only he can do it, apparently.
Oh.
Apparently, because he is so great. He can transfer his Super AIDS to other people.
Makes sense.
That's his superpower.
Clearly, he can only do it once, though.
Well, I don't know if he can only do it once. You got to catch Super AIDS again. But, you know, as superpowers go, it's not being born with lots of money or anything.
Getting a small loan of $1 million.
Yeah, or starting out with a small loan of $1 million. It's all about... It's all about transferring the Super AIDS. There we go. Now that we've gotten all the political bullshit out of our system, hopefully, and we've gathered all of the clickbait we possibly can from Donald Trump, we're just going to end this by saying I really hope Donald Trump does not do well in this election. I hope he politically dies in a fire.
There you go. I was like...
Politically dies in the fire. I want him out of here so we can actually get to real issues. And I've told many people I really hope it's Bernie Sanders versus Ted Cruz for the presidential election because I think it would be like earth-shattering of the United States to watch this climatic election kind of...
Watch an alleged Canadian go against a Democratic Socialist...
Well, Let's be fair. He was born in Canada. He had a dual Canadianship, but I think he renounced that, right? So he was born in Canada. So there we go. I think those are all facts. It's kind of like the fact that Impact Tremors is one of the best cards ever printed.
Ooh, immediately jumping on Troll Card of the Week.
I tried. I'm trying to get away from it because I already told everyone we were done, and you pulled me back in. You massive troll.
I didn't tell you to pick that card.
you pulled me back into the politics, and I'm getting out. I'm going to impact trimmer your bottom, just like I did today on the stream.
Well, okay, to be fair, I was playing a deck with no win condition other than hopefully getting one of my Felidar Sovereigns in play.
Well, I mean...
That was clearly
That's you. That is you. You're it's classic Travis. I'm just going to play Magic until they give up.
What if they don't give up?
They dive old age first, even better. Impact Trimmers, had a lot of fun with it today. Had a lot of fun with it potentially over the week. And I'm really tempted to just get back on the Impact Trimmers train. Goblins plus Impact Trimmers right now seems very, very good. Goblin Bushwhacker, all the different Goblin Make a Goblin spells, the Goblin who regrows Make Goblin spells. It seems like there's a win condition out there, if you ask me. I don't know. Have to take a look and see. It might even be relatively budget, with the exception of the Goblin Dark Dwellers. Is that right?
I think that's the only expensive card. Quote one.
Yeah, I think that would be the only pricey card in a deck like that that either I don't already have or whatever.
I'll place it.
And I think just a quick modification of the Goblins deck, and it could be lots of fun. So we'll see. Depends on how many people are main decking the. Is it Flame Tendrils?
Yes.
Neg 2.
Yep.
Yeah, that is the main card. That's where you need a Warping Whale to counter Flame Tentacles. So it might be colorless and red, I don't know yet. But if I'm looking at the show notes correctly, it says you are a big fan of Surok the Hunt Caller this week. What happened?
Well, building this deck that I sent you.
We'll get into towards the end of the show.
Right. I feel having him in this deck in particular would make it great just because of all the other things that I do have in there that are just, well, I want to say beastly, but they're more elemental-y.
Alright, never mind. I was all excited for a little bit, but I think I've seen something along these lines before.
What do you mean?
My son wants to build a deck like this.
The elemental deck?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's fun.
Well, we'll see. We'll get to it in depth in a little bit. I was expecting something totally out of the blue I like that card. Yeah, we'll see. We'll get into it in a little bit. But we want to talk about how our week was, because we always kind of start the show with that. And then Travis is asked to do a little bit of rearranging of the layout of the show. So we're going to hit emails first, and then we're going to get into a discussion of a Travis deck, and then we're going to play a game which we didn't discuss beforehand. But we'll figure it out. So, what Magic did you play this week? That wasn't on stream.
Okay, so I went to FNM, and...
That's what I was inferring, yes.
Basically what happened was at 4:30 I got off of work, so I came home, I just immediately started throwing a bunch of enchantments together, and then I went to FNM with basically Oaths and the enchantments that remove creatures from the games, Starfield and Nyx, and I was just more or less hoping I'd get there. And it didn't. I ended up going 1-2, and then I was like, no, I can't do anything, so I'm just going to go play Commander instead.
Aw. Sad Travis.
Oh, that's fine.
And that is how I hope the presidential campaign goes for Donald J. Trump. Just kind of throws some shit together, realizes he can't do anything, and then goes and plays Commander.
Oh, well, this is bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I started thinking that there was enough white removal and enchantments right now, and enough good white things that it was possible that we could just get away with, like, a mono-white control deck in Standard right now. But then I kept coming short on win conditions. So I thought maybe we would try to discuss that a little bit towards the end of the show as well.
Okay. Yeah, as far as white removal, enchantment-wise,
like it's just loaded.
Well, there's enough, but it's not effective because of how quick things are if you're playing a control deck.
Maybe. I feel like there's probably enough between, and not just enchantments. All right, let's not just
yeah.
be enchantments.
Well,
right?
Well, you said enchantments, but, that's why I was going off of enchantment.
I was talking about, like, there's enough good white removal in enchantments, but I also meant in general there's enough good white removal.
Oh, yeah, in general.
Like,
yeah,
there's,
definitely. I'm with
you've
that.
Got the exile target to attacking or blocking creature.
The Immolating Flame or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it's called. You've got
Surge of Righteousness.
You have the Sorcery Speed that kills a tap thing, and then if you have Spell Mastery, it kills a tap thing, or an instant speed.
Yep.
You've got the enchantment package of Silcrap.
You also have the
Stasis Snare, and when the Immolition Zone, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, well, and also there's the sorcery that destroys the tapped, and it also has Awaken.
Right. You've got, like I said, I think you have a lot of... You have a lot of wrath effects at 5+. You have a lot of single target stuff. I was just like, could you build one? Like, what's your main win condition at that point? It's
I've got it.
The big angel?
No. Okay, well, I mean, you could do the angels. That's fine. What was that one enchantment that I was just like... Just super
Starfield
of
Nyx?
No, not Starfield of Nyx. That's, I mean, not in this deck at least.
The Landfall one?
No.
I mean, these are all good enchantments, but...
Mithrilized. That's your win condition.
Oh, maybe. That's possible. If you get it down early enough and you go to town. I was thinking, like, you could use that big angel that, I think it's like a 3-5 for 4, like white, and 1.
Angel of Tides?
Angel of Tides, you could use it. You could use, like, that big angel that, like, gains life or makes another angel when it comes into play, depending on the situation.
Linvala.
And then you could, like, blink it. I don't know what else you could blink in mono white.
So,
that would be amazing, but...
I
feel like there's something out there, like a white blink deck.
Well, I mean, you could declare attack, and then if you have the Displacer on the field and a Wingmate Rock on the field...
Oh, yeah. Wingmate White, Rock, and Displacer. That's a good one.
You might be able to just, like, make extra tokens that way.
Well, yeah.
So... You know, I'd say this is a more mid-range deck than anything.
Yeah, it would be. It would just, like I said, when I was thinking about it, I went, wow, there's just so much good white removal right now. I mean, it's slow. It's not very fast.
Right.
But there's just so much of it that it's got to be something there.
Like, I think, you know, Seeker of the Way.
Oh, yeah, Seeker of the Way's good.
Linvala, Wingmate Rock.
Monastery Mentor might as well go in this deck if everything else is, you know,
right.
You've got all these removal spells.
And then I was thinking about a different way, like earlier this week I was thinking of a different way to run with it. I just have mono white aggro. And, you know, you got the Expedition Envoy on turn one. Seeker of the Way, Knight of the White Orchid, Topan Freeblade, and possibly even Consul's Lieutenant on turn two. I mean, and if you're going aggro, you still have Vern Wingmare that is standard playable. That's the one that makes non-creatures cost one more to cast.
And, right.
I mean, obviously, the top end would be like Amiria Shepherd, Wingmate Rock, and like Hidden Dragon Slayer for removal.
Right.
There's a
card that kind of fell back asleep. Mastery of the Unseen.
Maybe. See, the other way to go is to do just like huge creatures all the time, right? And Mastery of the Unseen and the blink effects. And just like blink out sweet ones and bring them back in as huge monsters.
Right.
So like you could have all the different Eldrazi in there you want, Linvala, all these really high casting cost critters, and then you just run like all the, you know, Master of the Unseen, obviously the Eldrazi Displacer, the 2-mana, Manifest the top card. I feel like there's another white Manifest that's really good. It manifests and it gives a creature flying and lifelink or something, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, you've got these good Manifest cards, and now you can just pay three, a colorless and two, and just like, and all of a sudden it comes back in as a huge monster.
Okay.
Like, there's some thoughts, but that's not what we're supposed to be talking about.
Right.
But I'd like to put that together. No, I was going to talk about my Mardu deck this week. So I have that Mardu super friendly type. I call it Dark Avengers. We've talked about it before on the show. It won another Friday Night Magic this last week. Our draft wasn't going to fire because I think we had 5 people show up. My wife was ill. We still would have been at least a couple people short of making the draft fire. I'm going to blame the Super Bowl weekend, even on Friday. It definitely was a problem for us. We were supposed to have a GP trial on Sunday because some of us don't pay attention to sports and didn't realize that it was Super Bowl on Sunday.
Yep.
And scheduled a GP trial, and that didn't fire. I think we had 8 people, or not 8 people, 5 people. So it was a little disappointing there. But I don't know. The Mardu deck did pretty well again. I did get to play a little bit on Sunday while I was trying to get the GP to fire, GP trial to fire, where it didn't do as hot. I think it went 2-2, or maybe even 2-3. But it, I don't know, I still like the deck a lot. I think it needs a little bit of tweaking, and I think I should look into Goblin Dark Dwellers and Read the Bones. I think Read the Bones is the card you want to hit off of Goblin Dark Dwellers a lot. And otherwise, you want to be hitting things like Crackling Doom. And that's a card that I want to be flashing or blinking in and out as Goblin Dark Dwellers and getting back all these great removal spells out of my graveyard. So I could also see just building a Goblin Dark Dweller kind of reanimator type thing with the blinker, using things like Culligan's Command and Crackling Doom and like I said, the Read the Bones,
right?
All sorts of, I think the world is just filled with removal spells that cost 3 right now, single target removal spells. And I just, it's got a lot of good potential right now. I think, Duress really was a beating, for me this, against the guy that I lost against, doing some playtesting, being able to Duress and then blink it, or repeat it with the Goblin Dark Dwellers, tearing out 2 Planeswalkers out of my hand was definitely a beating. Well, shall we get to some of the meat of the show? Like I said, you had a little bit of a programming note, and you wanted to switch player or listener feedback to the front of the show.
Right.
Because basically we've gotten a whole – I shouldn't say a whole bunch. We've gotten enough that the last couple shows are basically built around you guys, which I think is awesome, and taking a look at things in particular. And we got a follow-up from Matthias, who we talked about last week. And we're not going to go through the whole email like we normally do. We just kind of want to hit this main note here, where one of the major things that I had an issue with at the deck was Warping Whale was either nowhere to be found or just like a singleton in the sideboard. I would have to look. You can always you know, check out all the past episodes at samusgrobo.com. But let me just, I'm glancing through real fast. It looks like there is one warping well on the sideboard, and Travis and I kind of harped on a little bit. I think mostly me harped on about how awesome warping well is right now in standard, and that it needs to be in the main. And Matthias, I think, took that to heart, made some switches, and ended up putting four in the main. And then he sent me back a long email with this particular note. He basically highlighted the quotes from us of the show, and where my quote was, "Why not warping well in the main deck?" And then he responded with, "I ended up putting four in the main before Friday Night Magic. However, it was quite subpar and hard to get value from. I definitely lost two games due to it being a dead card. I think it is a good card, but very risky in some matchups, so I'll probably try two or three in the main at max, and the rest in the side." And then Travis and I started discussing this particular comment, and I was like, I don't understand how it's a dead card. Even if you can't use the counter a spell, or destroy a one toughness, one power creature, it still makes a 1-1 blocker at instant speed, or for two mana this turn makes you an extra mana next turn. And Travis started going off on me, and that's why I said, whoa, 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 pause, let's start the show, and now we're here. So can you unpause that, the anger yelling at me about how I don't understand where this card could be bad, how this card could be bad?
Okay, so Warping Well, it has three abilities on it. Exile a creature with power or toughness, one or less. It has that. It has a counter target sorcery spell. And then it also has make a 1-1 Eldrazi Scion that sacrifices to make mana. So it has three abilities, and I just think that if you're in a position where you're using it for a colorless Scion as a chump blocker or a potential ramp, you're just wasting the spell. I think more or less it should be in the sideboard because it's a conditional card. If you're using it for, like, it'd work great against, you know, like a Tarka Red. So, you know, gets rid of one of their creatures by either exiling it or having a chump blocker. It gets rid of, I mean, you can counter board wipes if you're playing a creature-heavy deck and they, you know, they try and Wrath. So it's good for a counter spell. But I just think if you're using it as a temporary creature mana accelerant or a chump block, it's just kind of wasting the spell unless that chump block is for, I don't know, an Ulamog, and you have a win condition next turn.
So let me put it this way. I see your point of if you were to order them by how you plan on using the card, right? So if I plan on using the card as a chump blocker, as power number one, power number two is, what, let's say exile a thing.
Okay.
And then power number three is to counter a sorcery. I would say, sure, that's not the card I want to put in my deck first, right? Like, if you were to take off the other two powers, just and leave its best power, and say that the best power was make a 1-1, I would say, yeah, that's not its best power. If you were to say, okay, well, what is its best power? In my mind, it's removing the creature, specifically to remove Jace, right?
Right.
So if it said exile target Jace for this mana, I wouldn't play it either, right? And if it were to say counter target sorcery spell, I probably wouldn't play it for two mana either, in my mind. But having all three of those things, plus it also saying trigger prowess, potentially attack with that 1-1. Like, there's a lot of times where, at least in my world, I'll be in a situation where if I have one more point of attacking power, I can win. it's just, to me, the flexibility of it makes it a main deck card. Now, 4 of, maybe not. I still think I would probably play 4 in a deck like this where I could cast it reliably, just because I do feel like in a situation where I'm going to keep this up, if it doesn't do any work and I don't think it's going to happen, I'll make the extra mana. I just really think that the spell is incredibly flexible, and that flexibility gives it very much power. And sure, there's going to be times it's going to be a dead card. There'll be matchups where it's a dead card. But I feel like those times are worth the trade-off for having it in your main deck. It's kind of like running Negate in your main deck in Sealed, right? Like, sometimes it's just going to be bad, but then sometimes it's going to be amazing. And you just have to figure out, like, is it worth it, this one opportunity? I don't know, I like it, and I know that I am working on a few different things, including a Blink deck that'll probably run the Infinite Combo, but it'll probably also just be Value Town. And one of the things I will probably run main deck in this deck is some number of Warping Wells, probably 2, potentially 3. Again, just because of the sheer flexibility, and worst case scenario, making a 1-1 that can sacrifice for a mana in a deck like that can be very, very good, I feel. So, I don't know. I said, I definitely think somewhere in the 2 or 3 in the main is probably right, potentially all 4, sometimes. It's definitely, in my mind, one of those cards that you want to have at least one of every game. But where you get it, when you get it, is an option. Getting doubles is definitely probably bad. Unless they have 2 Jaces or something like that. I don't know. What do you think? From your gut, all of them belong in the sideboard, some number of them belong in the main.
I think they all just belong in the side.
Okay. I think this is one of those places where we're going to have to really test the boundaries of our friendship. Like that time when we tried to sword fight.
When did we ever sword fight?
I remember that time you were really drunk.
That doesn't count for anything.
We were in the restroom together, and I'm like, hey man, let's just pull out our lightsabers and go to town. And you were like, yeah!
That's
okay.
That is not testing our friendship. That is testing our abilities as swordsmen.
Well, to be fair, my dagger is a lot smaller than I thought it was at the time, so I was unable to quite thrust the way I wanted. Hey, speaking of thrusting, Nathan sent us an email. He's another local gentleman who listens to the show. Thank you. Nathan says, love the show. On your logo, which troll represents each of you? That's a good question. I don't know if I've ever really considered it. So there's 2 trolls on our logo. There's one, I believe, sitting at a computer screen, and another one
holding a club.
Now, from my point of view, if I were to say, I would say you are probably the one holding a club, and I would be the one sitting at a computer.
I was actually kind of thinking that too, because you do more things on the computer than I do, and I really enjoy not wearing shirts.
Well, I really enjoy not wearing pants, and I do feel that way. I just feel like the one holding the club is probably the one that's a little more trolly and a little bit more of like hitting you over the head with the trolliness.
Oh, I've done that so many times. Everybody that it
can. I feel like that's you. But to be perfectly honest, both of those images I just pulled off the internet almost at random for trolls, and I just kind of picked 2 that I thought looked cool, and basically built that little logo.
It works.
It does work. I think it does a good job for us. What do you think of our? We've never really talked about it, but what do you think of our tagline? Do you even magic, bro?
I don't didn't even
really You didn't know that was even there? Yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely probably the one at the computer screen, cross-eyed, kind of giggling. I feel like I'm probably typing some response to some crazy post on the internet. Kind of giggling to myself at how smart I'm making myself feel by typing. And then you're probably like sitting there giggling like, huh, you didn't even spell these words, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's that. Okay, so he continues. Now I do have a deck list here. Please take a look at it and tell me what you think. So I took the deck list, and after much work, I got it into MTG Goldfish so I can read it a little easier. And this deck list, let's see if I still have it up on MTG Goldfish instead of just the picture. According to MTG Goldfish, is $130 online and $190 on paper. And I currently have 70 cards in the deck with a 12-card sideboard. So by my count, there should be 75, three more cards in the sideboard, which means I'm missing two cards from the main deck.
No, let's just count them as lands. There's 24 and 15, that's 39.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're supposed to be swamps, if they're supposed to be 14 swamps. So somewhere in there, there's some number of lands missing, and I'm not real sure what they are. They could, for all I know, they could be like a mirror well or something like that. But we'll get into that in a second. So the deck is four Hangerbacks, four Reaver Drone, four Bear of Silence, four Mattery Shaper, four Not Thought Not Seer, four Reality Smasher, two Ghostfire Blade, two Grasp of Darkness, three Spatial Contortion, four Warping Whale. And for the lands that are currently listed are four Llanowar Waste, three Seagate Wreckage, and 12 Swamps. So, the first thing I see, Travis, and I'm curious what you see first, but the first thing I see is an awful lot of colorless creatures and spells that require colorless mana, and exactly seven in the deck. Seven colorless sources.
Right.
That seems to be a pretty huge problem in my mind. Let's see, 4, 12, 16, 20, 23, at least 23.
Currently, and the then, deck has 61 cards in it.
What are you talking about? When you count it?
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what the MTG total is on. You see the picture as well as I do.
Yeah.
Oh, bollocks. Turn that off. Apologies. Probably someone to let me know I've won a cruise.
Good.
I seem to be getting that phone call like every other day for the last 2 months.
On a cruise.
I've never entered a drawing for a cruise or anything along those lines. It feels like
all
fishing.
The better.
Yeah. So anyway, where was I? There's like 20 things that require colorless. And Bear of Silence, you have to play a colorless and a generic to activate its ability.
Seagate Wreckage requires colorless.
Seagate Wreckage requires colorless.
You know
basically,
what,
that requires two colorless.
You know what this deck means?
Itself.
For land-wise, anyways, is... just came out in this new set. Ruins of Oran Reef.
I agree. Maybe that's supposed to be in here.
Yeah. I mean, you can take out... that.
And I don't think it's legendary, right?
It's not legendary. So you can take out two swamps and add a playset of Oran Reef. That's just what I'm going to call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would definitely start with that. Like I said, I think your colorless mana needs to go up. And then when you're doing that, you also are running Grasp of Darkness, which is a black spell.
That's why it has the swamps and the Llanowar Waste.
Right. And then we look in the sideboard, we have three flaying tentacles or tendrils. playing tentacles or something totally different. Yep. I think that's a Chinese porno of some sort, playing tentacles. Sorry, Japanese. And then Ruinous Path. So we have a lot of double black spells, but we also have a need, for an awful lot of colorless mana.
You know,
so essentially, we need to treat this as a two color deck.
Yeah, I think taking out Llanowar Waste for Corrupted Crossroads would be better.
I think you need to leave them in.
Well,
I think you need to be cutting down your swamps and adding.
Okay, well, here's my reason behind that. The Crossroads makes a colorless mana, or you can add one mana of any color to spend it on a Devoid spell. And there is eight Devoid in the main board, plus three... and then there's nine Devoid in the sideboard, so that would still give you that mana base that you need, plus every spell that you play besides the Grasp of Darkness is going to be colorless.
Sure.
So I think...
I still think you want to run a full set of those. I also think you want to be running... What's the name of the one that comes into play tapped and makes a mana that turn?
Crumbling Visage?
Yeah, I think you want to be running that one too.
What about Mirror Pool?
I think... I like Mirror Pool as well, but you're starting to get to the point where you can't reliably cast these double black spells.
Yeah, you can.
Well, again, I don't know, maybe. It might work. It might be enough. I'm not sure. I said it is, in my mind, very close.
I still think the land base doesn't need to go up, because curve out at Reality Smasher and Thought Not Seer. So everything should be good at 21 lands. And that'll make it 60 cards.
We're gonna disagree over that too.
Well, yeah, that's just because
you have Warping Well to help. I definitely think you want to go up to at least 23 lands. I'm a big 23, 24 land kind of person. I always start at 24, and then I go one up or one down, typically. I would definitely go to at least 24. I think in this list, I don't think I'd go below 24.
I would.
Also, I think you either have 8-1 drops or you have no 1 drops. Like, you have Reaver Drones and Ghostfire Blades. Ghostfire Blades doesn't count. Think of it more like a pump spell. But, yeah. You either run 8 1 drop offensive guys or you run none. And then you can run slower lands.
Right.
Like your lands that come into play tapped, like your... Oh, I forget what it's called. The Owen something runes, the one that puts a 1-1 counter on a colorless thing.
Yeah, the runes of Wobble.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. You need to decide. You want to be aggressive? You want to be... play, like, Hangerback Walkers. And I know why he wants to play Hangerback Walkers, and it's because it's a great card.
Right.
But, and he's got a playset now where he didn't for a long time. So I would want to play them too while they're still good. But honestly, I think in a deck like this, if you're going to do it like this, you want to be probably playing like the red shell or the white shell and not play the black. Like Grasp of Darkness is great, but so's, for removal spells, so are any of the red burn spells, except it can also go to the face.
I think the green shell would be better.
Like, what are you getting out of the green shell over the black or the red?
Okay, so, I mean, obviously the black and the red have the removal, but green can ramp you there faster. So you won't have to worry about your mana base.
Yeah, but what are you doing is the question. Like, I could almost see going green-black if there was a reason to go green in this case, which I currently don't see especially good reason.
If you're
like, give me one card. Okay. Give me one card for green.
For the mid range, and that's what I'm basing this off of. For the mid range, for ramping, you get the ruin in their wake, and you know the obvious other ramp spell that they have out right now. Plus, that would help with the warping whale, and then from beyond count. Bring down the Eldrazi count that you have right now. Bring it down just a little bit. But put in From Beyond so you can fetch them out when you need them.
I like the From Beyond. I don't know if I like the... I don't know. It's very close. I think you're still better off with the red.
And the green-black.
The green black would give you a man lane, which is very good. If you were to do red blue,
you could do red blue or red white.
You could do the man land, red white artifacty colorlessy. I don't know if there's a reason to go red white. Like I said, I think the red is probably strong enough. And that would give you access to a couple of things.
I kind
of
want to make
that. As well as a...
I kind of want to make an equipment deck now.
I don't know. Like I said, there's some options. I would look at going red in this case. And then I think there's one more follow-up question here. Lastly, I believe there are some strong black cards that came out, and I challenge you to build a mono-black deck. Oh no, son.
Alright, you ready for this?
I'm pulling up the gather right now, so let me hear what you got, and then I will skim through the black standard cards and we can kind of take a look.
Alright. So
like what's your standout cards? What are the cards that make us want to be mono black besides what's the -4/-4 card called again? Grasp of Darkness.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Okay, so besides that, we do have the other, you know, the Flying Tendrils, and obviously this is going to be more of a mid-range type of deck than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have Hand Control, Board Control, and then we have Creature, and then we have Creatures as well. So, early game creature removal, Spatial Contortion, Grasp of Darkness, Tar Snare. Late game, Murderous Cut. And then we do have drawing with Read the Bones, and if you want to splash a different color for just the purposes of like man lands, then we have Painful Truth as well. And then creatures, this is kind of going to be a devoid deck, you know, just because it can be. Kozilek Shrieker on turn 3, and you can pay a colorless to give it +1/+0 and menace, so fire breathing and menace is always a good thing. And then Essence Depleter for the mid to late game. You know, after you have everything controlled but you can't really attack, you pay a colorless and 1, and target opponent loses 1 and you gain 1. So that's a slow drain. You have Slaughter Drone, which again is devoid, and you can pay colorless to give it Death Touch till end of turn. Then I was kind of thinking, you know, splashing in green and or blue, maybe even both, or Kasigur, obviously, just for his ability to get cards back in your hand. And you do have Obnixilus, Crux of Fate, Languish. I mean, I think that it can be done. You just kind of have to, play around with it.
Yeah, I like a lot of the cards that you mentioned.
Also, Duress, Despise, and Transgress the Mind are also in standard right now.
Sure. I'm kind of clicking some cards here, trying to piece together a few things that I think are probably good enough. Hey, this obviously isn't going to be a proper deck yet, but a couple of things, like Bloodsoaked Champion is still in the format, which is, in my opinion, an amazing card. Following that up with like a Drana Liberator of Malachar.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Pretty ridiculous. Brutal Horde Chief incentivizing us to go wide. So Bloodsoaked Champion, Drana Liberator, Brutal Horde Chief all want us to go wide. Kalidus, Trader of Geek.
Mm-hmm.
It's another good card wanting us to go not necessarily wide, but gives us some options. Ebrosis Titan, I think, is a strong one. A 5/5 for 4 that has a couple of worthwhile abilities.
Right, like it's indestructible if they don't have any creatures.
Correct.
And considering all of black is removal, pretty much.
Yes. Then we have Pitiless Horde, which I think is ridiculous if you're trying to be aggressive. For those of you who don't remember, that is a 5/3 for a black and 2, and it has dash of black and 2, with an upkeep of, at the beginning of your upkeep, you lose 2 life. So, all the same things that you said stay true. Grasp of Darkness, Ruinous Path. I'm a big fan of, like, the 2 mana pump spells. Or, sorry, the 1 mana plus 2 plus 0 pump spells. So we've got, I gotta go back to the first page here. Touch of the Moon Glove kinda does that. Gives a creature death touch and makes it a plus 1 plus 0. And then when that creature dies, they lose 2 life. There's a colorless one that, I forget exactly what it's called. But, like, it's plus 2, plus 0, and regenerates, I think.
Yeah.
That's also for a single black. You also have Molting Snakeskin. So, if you can play, like, Ruthless Rippers, Typhoid Rats, things that come down on turn 1 and attack, plus you got that other 2-1, that says if you don't have a colorless, you take a damage. I think it's in here, isn't it? Isn't it Bear of Silence? No, Reaver Drone. And then if you look at colorless black cards, you also have
Liliana.
Well, you have Liliana as well. She was in my list, but I didn't have a convenient sacrifice outlet.
What are you talking about? You have Merciless Executioner and what was that other one? The zombie one.
Well, I meant in kind of what I was putting together.
Oh, okay.
I was just putting together, like, all these crazy good, crazy high-dollar cards. But, you know, we played it today and had a lot of luck with it. The Black-White Warriors deck
I was kind of thinking that
quite good.
When you were going through the list, I'm just like, dude, why don't you just take out the white and just make it a mono-black deck? What you had... The white was just in there for the what? Playset of that one creature?
Well, let me jump over here and take a quick look. Again, samusgerbo.com. I'm clicking on the 2 Trolls and a Brew tab. Now I'm scrolling down to... Do I not have a... Oh, this must have been before I was putting deck lists in. No wonder people were so angry with me all the time. Let me just pull it up here. I feel like there were some white cards in the list, but mostly it was because of the plus 1, plus 0 warrior, and the white activation on the Brutal Horde Chief. Type the novel, it is my Magic Online password. Quick, come on. bring up the Reddit war list. Secure the Waste, Hidden Dragon Slayer, and Chief of the Edge are my white cards. So it could be mono black.
Yeah, just those for like creature removal.
Yeah, I cut those for Drana, creature removal, Pitless Horde, and it would do fine. Kalas, Trader of Ghet, all those things would do fine.
Right.
So it's a good one. What I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to, because we played it today, and a lot of people really seem to dig it, so I'm going to real quickly here grab a new copy of the Budget War list. And I will paste that as part of the show notes as well this week.
Potentially also put in Priest of the Blood Rite. Just for that extra... I mean, it'll give you a 5-5, and if you have a way to kill your creature, like, I don't know, with an exploit ability or a Merciless Executioner, you won't take 2.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Yeah, I don't know. There's some options. I haven't really thought about it. I spent more time this week looking at the black deck. I didn't get this email until today. So, I haven't really thought about it. But it might be something we do this week and try to post out on the website. We'll give that a try. I don't make any promises, but there might be a special, not really article, but I'm going to call it a post. For a mono black deck in standard. So thanks for sending that in, Nathan. We appreciate it. Hopefully we rattled off enough cards that your brain got juicy. I definitely think Pitiless Horde is a card right now. Maybe in some sort of deck that can reliably give colorless, or not colorless, give unblockable. Maybe like a some sort of black-blue deck that has a lot of ways to give unblockability for free. Or not for free, but for basically no cost. Like, say, tap 2 artifacts.
Yeah.
Or something along the fact that are also worthwhile creatures on their own. So you could, you know, on one turn play the... what is that guy even called? I can't even think of his name. The 2/2 that makes 2 flyers and can tap two artifacts to be colorless. And then you can dash a Pitiless Horde and make it unblockable for 5.
Right.
Like, you don't have a lot of attacks that way. And of course, you also have the... What's it called? Retributive Strike? I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Where you choose to lose 5 life or sacrifice a creature or discard 2 cards.
Yeah.
And then you do it twice. Like, that card's also a beating. So, there are some black cards, I agree. I personally want to do something, I think, with the white or the mono red right now. I feel like they're very strong in that particular color combination. Alright, so we're also playing around on the stream today. And I don't know if I caught this person's name. The deck that he shared is Makita, but I don't believe that's what the Twitch stream name was. But we were playing, and thanks again for joining me, Travis, on the stream this morning. I said it then, I'll say it again now. It makes it a lot more interesting to play with somebody else on the stream to bounce ideas and jokes and stuff off of than it is trying to fill, you know, a couple of hours of talking to yourself, essentially making comments with the chat stream.
Right.
That's a little bit delayed. But still, it's still enjoyable to do it by yourself, but it takes it up a notch when you have someone, so I appreciate you joining me. So we were talking about a variety of things, and one of the viewers sent us this deck list. I think because I said the magic word Impact Tremors, and they went, "Oh, I love Impact Tremors too." So this deck list Three Bear of Silence, four Hangerback Walkers, three Pia and Nikara Nalar, three Reckless Bushwhackers, four Ornithopter Engineers, three collateral damages, four Fire Impulse, two Wild Slash, four Hordling Outburst, four Impact Tremors, two Outpost Siege, and then Land Base is basically what you kind of think it would be. Fetch Lands, Battlefield Forge, Crumbling Vestige, Foundry of the Consults, and Fetchland Targets. One Seagate Wreckage is kind of the standout. I love Seagate Wreckage, and I think that it'll be a big staple in the coming year or two, however long it's in standard. Library of Alexandria, for those of you who never got a chance to play with it, is an amazing Magic the Gathering card. This card will also be very amazing. But I like this deck a lot, too. I think Bearer of Silence is a good card. A flyer for two mana is already good, in my opinion. Spending two extra mana to make it target opponent sacrifice a creature, I think is pretty sweet. Obviously, I like Hangerback Walker with Thopter Engineers, the parents, again, with Thopter Engineers. I just don't know if you need to dilute the deck. I think you could get away with just, like, a mono-red deck. Like, Impact Tremors, Thopter Engineers, the parents, Hangerback Walker, some of the other things that make either... there's a 2-1 that makes a Ornithopter... make two goblins, make three goblins. Like, I just don't see a reason to dilute the deck by adding another color right now.
Right.
Like, we've come from this world, like 3 months ago, right? There was no reason not to be two or three colors, or even four colors, right? And now, they're still good. You can still do it. It still gives you a lot of raw power. But instead of being able to get away with like a 22 mana base and always hit all your colors and have a sweet curve, I just feel is like this next level of power right now. Especially if you take and you add something like Expedite, which is clearly on my short list of best cards, because I'm constantly going back to it.
Right.
For power level. The whole give a thing haste out of nowhere and attack is crazy. But if you just go to the gather and look at red cards or artifact cards, it's just full of amazing red cards that if you were to give haste to, would be insane.
Yeah.
If you would give... some sort of evasion to would be insane. There's so much good burn right now. Like, three mana, do four damage to the face. Amazing. You have Titans. What is it called? Titans something? Fall of the Titans? If you could just play, like, a cheap one mana spell, you can then burn a creature and an opponent?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that seems... very, very good in a format where you could literally play a zero casting cost card. We have a lot of good zeros right now, and it seems insane to me not to take advantage of the situation that's out there right now, especially with these surge cards and stuff like that.
Right.
So I'm definitely going to be spending my week working on a red list. I think that's where I'm going to be focused this week. I really want to run the Phoenix that comes back that has haste. I forget what it's called. The Ferocious Phoenix. It's a 2-2 for, I think, red, and a colorless. But it has to attack each turn if able, and it's got haste.
One
and then Ferocious. No, it's Ferocious.
Oh,
pay a red.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know what you want to talk about. There's two of them, that's why I was just like...
Yeah, there's a bunch of these aggressive flying red cards right now. along with these aggressive, like, make Ornithopter red cards.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like there's a thing here where playing aggressive colorless creatures or more directly aggressive artifact creatures is just good. And, I mean, it could be very, very solid. But I do like this red-black Thopter, red-black Thopters. I just don't really see a reason to dilute. I guess all the main deck is red. I guess let's start with that. And then we're basically splashing for Culligan the Storm's Fury and a Duress, Self-Inflicted Wounds, and Transgress the Minds. Thunderbreak Regents and Culligan the Storm's Fury. If you're going to do these kind of things, I just put them in the main deck. And instead of Fiery Impulse, I run the dragon spell. And then next thing you know, you're making switches around here or there, and you end up with my Mardu deck.
Right.
It's a slippery slope into where you're going. But collateral damages plus Hangerback Walkers, Thopter Engineers, Parents is a solid core. Impact Tremors plus all this token creation stuff. Like, I say go for it. I think it's enough there that's a good solid core. I guess Bear of Silence is in the main. That I think I'd move to the sideboard. Put the Culligan's of the Storm's Fury in the main, just because you just want to be able to get in a point or two here or there in the early game with your fast, cheap guys, and then, you know, you have two or three flyers, you play Culligan, you smash for like 11,
mm-hmm.
you untap and you collateral damage or wild slash them right out of the game. So that's what I'd say on that deck list. Still a sweet idea, just a little bit off from me. Now, we've got probably 10 minutes left in the show. Tell me about this list, because when you sent it to me and I quickly skimmed through it, I went, oh, I know what this is. This is the Living Lands list that my son is working on.
Yep.
Convince me that you're wrong, or that I'm wrong, and this is something different.
No, it's a Living
A Living Lands list.
Yes, it's Living Lands.
Okay.
Honestly, I love the... It's an elemental deck with Living Lands. It does have 3 Lumbering Falls and 3 Wandering Firmroils. So mm-hmm. there's 6 man lands. Plus, I also have Elemental Rising, you know, to make it a 4/4 man land. Then all the lands, they do have landfall triggers with Undergrowth Champion, the Embodiment of Fury, and the Embodiment of Insight, and then also Omnath. And then if I have the 6 mana, then Sylvan Advocate makes them turn from 3/3s into 5/5s. It's just a Living Lands deck, and, you know, Sirach the Hunt Caller is in here. So, you know, you drop him on, let's say you drop Undergrowth Champion on 3, and Sirach on turn 4, and they're both attacking him for 8 mana on turn 4, or for 8 points on turn 4.
Yeah, I don't know how much I love the deck as a whole, but I do like this variation. This is the list I'm probably going to give Remington to start with, because like I said, he's adamant. We just picked up the Sylvan Advocates. I've had the Undergrowth Champions. I've had, of course, Omnath. I picked up the Nissas this weekend. I've had Kioras. I may or may not have enough. I know I have all the land base, basically. So it really comes down to a couple of these cards here, there, in the middle. And I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to agree. I'm just going to say, I think it's a fun place to start. I love the fact that Cure is in this deck, but more importantly, I love that Pulse of Morasa is in this deck. I think it's exactly the right card for a deck like this. You need that life gain. You need that ability to regrow
the lands.
Like a Fetchland or an Amnath or a Sylvan Advocate late. Like, you're going to get in those situations where you just have to have something along those lines.
I think all of them are good to regrow. I think the weakest one to regrow would be one of the embodiments or Serac.
I guess this is my main comment on these decks and why I continuously kind of question them, is if you're going to have the blue in there, why don't you have the ally that gives man creatures flying? Or man lands flying?
What's that?
Like, he's just an ally. He also regrows a awakened spell. He's blue and two. Let me see. Standard. Not
oh,
so
okay. Yeah,
standard.
He's your.
Yeah, he's blue creature search.
Probably because I didn't think about it.
Okay. Well, at least we had that honesty going on between us. I guess I could have narrowed it down slightly by putting it in the last set. Hallmeyer.
Yeah, Hallmeyer.
Tidecaller.
Yeah.
Hallmeyer Tidecaller.
Yep.
Land creatures you control have flying.
Yep.
And then you may return target card with Awaken from your graveyard to your hand. So you currently don't have any Awaken spells in this list, but you could.
Right.
You could have a couple. Between the red Awaken spell of do one damage to everything, it could easily be a sideboard card, and probably should be a sideboard card. And then what's one of the green Awaken cards? Target permanent gets a +2/+2 counter.
Yeah, it gets +2/+2 counters. And it awakens...
2+1/+1.
Yeah, and it awakens for...
With all these man lands, it would probably be excellent. With Sylvan Advocate, it would probably be excellent. So you could easily run those two man... Or awaken spells and some number, and it would probably be fine.
Right.
You're in the same situation where you're hard up for removal spells.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just, I mean, if all your lands also are creatures, who cares?
Right.
Like, here, I attack you for 80. You figure it out.
Attack you for this. Okay, what is that? Oh, you do the math. I'm just swinging, bro.
That's right.
You have
15 spells. I wonder if it's also possible to make a cut here, in the creature department. Like, maybe lose the Undergrowth Champions and put in... Splash White. Play the guy who says whenever you play a... it's basically Prowess, Awaken a Land. What is that guy's name? I can only think of Old Man of the Sea. Noindar, maybe,
yeah,
is his name?
Lar or something.
Yeah, like maybe you run one of him
old man
in there, and then you put in like a couple of other spells, like I said, the +2/+2, or like one of him, one of the all your man things get flying, and some way to like tutor up a creature.
Okay.
I'm sure there's some spell ways to tutor up a creature.
Right, I can see that.
Or at least help tutor up a creature. And then that gives you... You lose the Undergrowth Champions, which are a good card. I do like. But I just... I don't think there's enough landfall in this deck to really make it sing.
Yeah.
Nor is there enough ways to, like, force through extra cards. Like, if you were running the +2/+2, play an extra land. Or if you're running the red... red-green command that also plays an extra land.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, it would make more sense to me. +1/+1, drop another land. I could see playing Undergrowth Champion, but in this scenario, I just want to see... In fact, maybe that's what you do. Maybe you leave him in, and you cut these Elemental Uprisings for the... a Tarkus command.
Right, okay.
And maybe that's the way to go. Maybe that adds enough power to the deck that you don't have to do anything else.
Right. I mean, I'd have to trade for commands, but other than that,
acquire commands. They're not super difficult. I think they're like in the five-ish dollar range right now.
Really drop that much?
I think so. I don't think they're very, very high. Let me do what I always do when I don't know. Well, first of all, I figure out that I can't spell.
Yep,
so I might as well not even try.
I pulled it up already.
Did you get there first?
Yep.
Oh, no,
$13.
Almost there. What?
$13 mid-range, yep.
Wow. They must have gone back up again. Because they were down for a while, I feel like they were. I literally just gave some of them to Dan's son.
You just gave them?
Basically, yeah. They were $5 until October? Yeah, and then when Zendikar came out, they jumped. And I guess I didn't register the jump.
Yeah.
So there you go, kids. It's a target command world. So says Moto. All right, well, that's the end of the show. Basically, it's time to come up with a game, and we didn't take the time to figure out one. So, of the list of games that we play, name game, new flavor text, embed, MFK, would you rather? What do you want to play?
Let's play with embed. I thought that one was the funniest.
Okay. So I'm going to pull up Drana here because she is my sexy, sexy girl right now. I will not live as a slave. If you would be free, then fight alongside me in bed. Yes, ma'am. What do you got?
I am searching up randomly on Wizards right now.
Okay. Here, let's do this.
Sparksmith.
Okay.
If it didn't hurt, how would I know it worked in bed?
That's a good question.
That is so kinky. Oh, you got one.
So, if I plug my birthday into Gatherer... Oh, never mind, this card doesn't have flavor text. That's dumb. Alright, let's put another one in there. Go back. Let's put in my son's birthday. When was he born? This day. Alright, so my son's card is the Rack. Invented in Mishra's earlier days, the Rack was once his most feared creation in bed.
But how are you doing this search?
I just have the... When you go to gather.wizards.com...
Okay.
And you search for one particular card. If you look up in the URL, there's like a 4-digit to 5-digit number up there as the card ID. So I'm just plugging in the 4-digit, like, month, day of people's birthdays.
Okay, so right now, hold up, Abbot of Carol Keep, and so the number is 398411, like that?
Yeah. Now change that number to some other number.
Change it to my birthday.
Like, I just randomly plugged in some numbers, and this time I have Spine Drift Drake. Sea Brine for blood, washing phone for laughter in bed. See, that one's just not funny. What did you say the other day when my dog started barking? Unleash the dogs of
the dogs of war going.
Unleash the puppies of war. Ruff, 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 ruff. All right, what's your birthday card? Let's go out with this. What is your birthday card in bed?
10/7/86. Doesn't exist. I am non-existent.
And a four-digit number.
Four-digit?
Yeah, just do like month or day and year or month and day.
Day and year. Well, Urza's power plant. Artifact construction requires immense resources in bed.
I bet that's true.
Right.
I gotta raise, this pyramid, if you know what I mean. Alright, folks. With that, I think we're gonna wrap it up. I'm Samus, he's Travis. If you want to be part of the show, like these other fellows, highly intelligent, well-written people like Matthias and Nathan, you can do that at the number truetrollsbrew@gmail.com. You can, of course, join us on Twitch at Samus Garobo or via Twitter. I am Samus Garobo, SamusGurobo, all one word. Travis is, of course, Turtle Power, the number 319. He did do some tweeting this week. I was very impressed. Trying to think what exactly you tweeted.
Oh, there are some things about the Super Bowl.
I favored it because I was so impressed with your tweeting that I just felt like I had to reward you with your tweeting. And let's see. I feel like there's something else. Oh, of course, you can check out past episodes of this at SamusGarobo.com or wonderful locations like mtgcast.com. Hopefully we'll be joining a couple more aggregate sites. I need to send out some emails. But, oh yes, Left Shark. You were all talking about Left Shark.
I miss Left Shark. He was the best thing about Super Bowl 49. Yes, left you speechless. That's how good he is. Well,
I'm just
everybody, troll on.
Troll on, everyone.